Many of us over the years, if we've been in fellowship with Sabbath-keeping services during the time of the Feast of Tabernacles, we've heard lots of messages on the kingdom, which is very important, and it's been a major focus during the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. And I'm going to try a little different approach today and talk about what leads up to that major goal, and that's the process of salvation. And how does that tie into the Feast of Tabernacles? So bear with me, if you will, and at the end of it, hopefully it makes some sense. And so let's go ahead and get started. I think that many of us will agree that the doctrine of salvation is important to all of Christianity. So let's suppose we were to get 1,000 people together and ask them, 1,000 Christians, and ask them to write on a piece of paper what their definition of salvation is. What percentage would you guess would be able to agree with the definition? Just a thought. You know. If you have an interest in testing yourself, if you care to, why don't you write it down right now for yourself, and then after services or in the next couple of days, have some discussions with your brethren and see if your definition of salvation matches up with any of your brothers or sisters in this room. See what that looks like. You might be surprised at what you discover. My experience has demonstrated that most of us really never have tried to define salvation or even considered the meaning. Last year, at the Feast of Tabernacles in St. George, Utah, I presented a message titled, Work Out Your Own Salvation. And I was in asking God what He wanted me to prepare for this year. Salvation wasn't leaving my mind. I said, come on, I did that one last year. And it wasn't leaving my mind, so I'm from the school of hard knocks, and I said, okay, God's trying to tell me something, that I have some more work to do. So here we are with this message today. So, what does salvation mean? Let's start off with some discussion, some ground rules here today that I think might help us. We're going to talk about definitions here relative to saved and salvation. So for today, you're going to see some scriptures in here where I've taken the liberty to replace the word saved with delivered. And for the word salvation, deliverance. And so those scriptures are going to be quoted up there properly, but I put those words in there. This is consistent with both Hebrew and Greek, and it helped me, and I hope it'll help you understand this subject and more on a personal and practical basis. So there are three basic categories of deliverance, and that's, again, salvation. And that's the timing of it. There's the past, the present, and the future. In order to help set the table for this, I'm going to give you a definition of deliverance that's my version of it. And let's see how you guys like this. So, deliverance is a process. We have been delivered. Okay, this is past tense, from our separation from God, right? And that separation occurred with the original sin from Adam. We are being delivered, that's the present tense, that's what's going on right now, from the power of ourselves. Sin, Satan, the law, and the world. The future tense of it is we shall be delivered from this body of death when we are changed to spirit beings. Okay? So, let's keep moving here and see how this goes. Our these might be considered what I just reviewed, some of the negative side of deliverance. So we're being delivered from these things, okay? Death, we're being delivered from that. We're being delivered from the Adamic nature. We're being delivered from the separation from God. The positive side of deliverance is the outcome of being delivered is for our fellowship with the Son of God. So that's what we're being delivered for. So we've talked about what we've been delivered from, so what are we being delivered for? And what we're being delivered for is our fellowship with our brother Jesus Christ. Okay? And it says here in 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now most believers, Christian believers, have some kind of relationship with the Messiah. But fellowship is much more intimate, and that's the word that I've underlined up here. It's one thing to have a relationship with somebody. I've known some of you over the last couple of feasts and maybe spent 30 minutes with you, an hour with you, had a quick dinner with you. So we have a relationship. But I wouldn't say that we are fellowshipping. It's a much more intimate relationship. And that's what we have been called for, as it's described here in this particular scripture. Fellowship can be defined as a joint participation in all things held in common, with the root word being communion. Okay? Now, for some scriptural details as it relates to the past tense, currently, and then the future, we're going to jump into that here. And so let's focus in on the past tense here to start with. Romans 8:24. For in hope we have been delivered. It's done. All right? Ephesians 2:8. By grace you have been delivered. Again, remember, I replaced those words there. 2 Timothy 1, verses 8 and 9. Who has delivered us not according to our works? Okay. We didn't do anything to be delivered from the past tense, right there. Titus 3:5. He has delivered us not on the basis of deeds, but according to His mercy. Now, based on these few scriptures, and know there are many others, we can conclude that our past deliverance required no works on our part, no works from man, not even the slightest bit of work. It was completely unconditional deliverance by His mercy and His grace. We have been delivered. Okay? And then when we add 1 John 2:2, and He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for those of the whole world. Now, many of us are familiar with these words, but I just want you to let that scripture sink in. Okay? Not only are ours, but of the whole world. That He has done this for everybody that has ever lived and that is currently living, including the 7 billion, or approximately 7 billion that's here on this earth. Christ's shed blood has completely satisfied the claims of justice against us, not only we believers, but of the whole world. All right? This is what the Bible defines as justification, and it occurred approximately 2,000 years ago, when our Messiah suffered and died for all mankind. In the mind of God, from God's perspective, mankind is considered justified right now. Justification is imputed to us. We're going to get some big words here, so bear with me, please. I'll try to do my best here. Justification is imputed to us, and the door to reconciliation has been opened to us in Christ Jesus. Okay? However, it was not imparted in us at this time. So let's see what Romans 5:9 has to say about that. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. So, in Christ Jesus. All right. And verse 10, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. The amplified meaning of these two verses is, from my perspective, we have been, past tense, justified and reconciled by his blood. We know that. But much more, we shall, in the present and future tense, be delivered by his life, dwelling actively within us as the temporary dwelling. There's the first hint of Feast of Tabernacles. Haven't had any Feast of Tabernacles terms until just right there, right? We're the temporary dwelling. We should know that. And for us to be delivered, we need his life actively dwelling in us. Okay? That's the connection. Or part of the connection with these days of Feast of Tabernacles. And this brings us to the next phase of deliverance. So we'll move now to the present and the future tense of salvation or deliverance. And when I was studying these particular scriptures, I was particularly struck by those that included what we might call the elements of deliverance. And I have underlined these for additional amplification. And we did a Bible study yesterday, and I was asked about how we can do the things that I was talking about yesterday. I think it was from Alan. And so, Alan, this is for you, okay? So here we go. Present and future tense in terms of the elements. Matthew 10:22, the one who endures to the end will be delivered. Luke 10:23, are there just a few being delivered? Strive to enter the narrow door. Matthew 7:13-14 and 21. And then those areas it talks about. Enter the kingdom. Those who do the will of my Father. John 10:9. If any shall enter through me, he shall be delivered. Acts 10:21. Calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Acts 11:14. It's Peter speaking. Will speak words to you by which you shall be delivered. Continuing on, Acts 16, verse 30. What must we do to be delivered? Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you shall be delivered. And there's many scriptures that teach us that believing is an element of deliverance. The often quoted but little understood John 3:16 is a case in point. We're going to come back and touch on that here in a little bit. Continuing on. Again, these are elements here for things that we need to be doing right now. To us who are being delivered, the cross is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 15:2. By which you are delivered if you hold fast the word. 2 Timothy 3:15. Scriptures are able to give you wisdom that leads to deliverance through faith in Christ Jesus. So we've got a couple of them there, a couple of elements. Hebrews 5:9. Jesus became to all those who obey him the source of eternal deliverance. Hebrews 3:5. He who overcomes will not erase his name from the book of life. All right. According to these scriptures, these elements that have been underlined in these listed verses that play a part of our deliverance. So let's just quickly go over them here. In summary, endure, strive, do his will, enter through me, call on his name, hear the word, believe, the cross, hold fast, wisdom, faith, obedience, overcome. I think it'd be good for each one of us to spend time on each of these elements in our own studies and then see how they can be applied today in our own individual lives. But we'll go ahead and focus a little bit more on each one of these right now and take a very brief look at some of these elements listed and my thoughts on them here that I'd like to share with you. Endure. Okay, brings to mind that we should not be weary in well-doing and indicates that it takes much time and experience for most of us in order to be delivered. Okay. Strive means effort or works. We do not produce anything for God. Our responsibility is one of yielding. And this takes great effort, and then receiving his life in us. Our job is to stay attached to the vine. He will produce the fruit. Do his will. His will is that we behold and believe in his beloved Son. This is the distinction between the believer and others. We have lots of Christianity, but are they doing his will? Lots of folks out there. Enter through me. This is a tough one for me, and maybe for you, is letting him develop a oneness of nature within us. It is intimacy with our Lord Jesus, the deliverer. We want to do it ourselves. We're comfortable in our own skin. I'm going to study harder. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to be delivered through my efforts by reading that book cover to cover the next how many years, Lord willing, let's say I live another 20 years, I'm going to read a cover to cover 40 times, twice a year. That'll deliver me. It's not going to do it. All right? The only way to do it is enter through him. Just call on his name. This is our personal prayer life. All right? Entering boldly into the very throne room of God, which is what we have right now, which is a great privilege. and having that executive meeting with the Father and His Son. Continuing on. Hearing the Word. The written Word was designed to lead us to the living Word. He is speaking to us today, but we just need His anointing and the ears to hear. Believe. This is an action word, rather than just an intellectual perception. And it means applying what we understand and trust and faith. The cross. This is our giving up of things that may not necessarily be wrong, but they hinder us and take up our time. This is different than stoically bearing some burden. It is a co-crucifixion with our deliverer. Taking up our cross every single day is critical. We're not talking about that Trinitarian cross. Okay? It's scriptural. Hold fast. Many of us, we'd be all right with this. But so we can still continue to hold fast, prove all things by carefully examining the scriptures. And not just believing what you hear up here from the pulpit or from others in your podcasts or your programs that you listen to. And wisdom, the anointing of the written word leads us into the living word. And here's a little twist to it, is that our wisdom is a person with a personality. Okay, so those are some thoughts for you to ponder on the elements, with a few more to go here. Faith. Again, those are the elements that we described in the scriptures back there. Is an understanding and trusting in God. Dominating faith is complete dependence upon Him to do in us at which we cannot do for ourselves. Obedience. To all His revealed instructions, this is on a much higher level than keeping the law. Take up and follow me is an example. There's lots of instructions in the Bible about things that we need to be doing other than just obeying the law, the Ten Commandments. And finally, overcome. Deliverance requires that we suffer mentally, physically, and spiritually in our mortal flesh, and it comes before we can be glorified. I don't like this one. I don't like pain. I don't like suffering. Not many of us do, I believe. Now, Alan, those are the elements that you need to focus on, all right? It wasn't a quick answer yesterday, so that's why I asked you to wait. So, we must be careful not to misunderstand what functions these elements perform when they're applied to our daily lives. And I want to caution everybody that these elements do not produce deliverance, do not produce salvation in us. Okay? I'm going to say it again. These elements do not produce deliverance in us. The result of applying these elements is that they keep us under the transforming influence of the Holy Spirit from glory to glory, as it says in 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Practicing the elements we just went over and following these listed elements allows the indwelling Spirit to produce Christ in our mortal flesh. Okay? We need to be that temporary dwelling. 2 Corinthians 4:11. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. That's right here, right now. It says mortal flesh. It doesn't say the kingdom. It doesn't say after Christ's return. Are you allowing this to happen, or are you quenching that Holy Spirit? We need to have the eyes to see and the heart to understand that deliverance still comes only by the grace of God, and learning to cooperate with His Spirit is part of the purification process. In 2 Corinthians 4:11, for we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. And then jumping right into Titus 2:14, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good deeds. Are you guys possessed? Are you allowing yourself to be possessed? That's what it says right here. Titus 2:14. Now, we know that Jesus Christ is the source of our deliverance, past, present, and future. But the connecting link in the written word between the arena of the past and that of the present future deliverance is the last part of Philippians 2:12 listed here. Work out your own deliverance, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Okay? Our Father has already accomplished the first part of deliverance. The process for us, the foundation has firmly been laid in His beloved Son and what He did on the cross for us. Our work, or responsibility as I like to call it, because work can get translated incorrectly. Our responsibility is to hold Him in deep abiding reverence, or another word for that is fear. By applying His scriptural instructions to us on a daily basis, and also to stay ever aware of the tremendous power of the Adamic nature, the carnal nature, the flesh. Our Adamic nature has the inward desire to sin, even though we don't want to. Romans 7:18-19 says, for I know that nothing good dwells in me. And this is Paul talking 20 years after his conversion. For I know that nothing good dwells in me that is in my flesh, for the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. How long you been walking with Christ? How long had Paul been walking with Christ when he stated these words? The old man, the self, the Adamic nature is a tyrant who must come to see and acknowledge and tremble, remember we read those words, at its power over us, our own Adamic nature, because not only does it not want to do and not want to come to God, it is completely unable to do so, as it says here in Romans 8:7. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. So why do you keep trying doing it on your own? It says so right there. You going to keep fasting? Or are you going to do other things? Do other works? Practice those elements. But you need to get a handle on this. That the only way for you to have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ is in Him only. There is no other way. Be that temporary dwelling and let God possess you. Let's go back now to Philippians 2, verse 12. Talk a little bit about God's work here. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And I left salvation in there for a purpose. For it is God who is at work in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. And then when we combine, you know, and as we combine both these verses, and they should not be separated in thought or teaching, we see that God continues to deliver us by supplying the power, not only desire to become His will, but also to produce in us what we cannot produce in ourselves. We will truly comprehend what it means to work for His good pleasure if we understand this. It's for His good pleasure, not ours. And we don't like to give up the right to ourselves. It's no fun. Matthew 5, verse 6, this is Christ's words. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. It's a promise. But you got to get out of the way. Our personal responsibility is to yield to Him, allowing His Holy Spirit to produce Jesus Christ in us as that temporary dwelling, that lean-to up there. That's what we are. We're that lean-to right there, that tabernacle. We're temporary. But we have a very special purpose today. This has been the plan from the very beginning. To make us just like His beloved Son. Remember, in our Bible study yesterday, we talked about in Genesis, we are made in the image of Him. So we'll be just like our beloved Son in thought, desires, goals, actions. This is the positive side of deliverance. We're being delivered for something, for Him. Be that temporary dwelling these Feast of Tabernacle days show us. Some more on temporary dwelling here. Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world. And we're certainly not doing that by being here in Rapid City, South Dakota this week. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. To better understand and define the scriptural term salvation, again, I refer to it as deliverance for our purposes here today and share it today. I was also brought to see the distinction between the term salvation and eternal life. The process of deliverance is the God-ordained design which prepares us to personally and intimately know the Father and His Son, and His beloved Son. That deliverance process is a wonderful thing if we stick to it and do the elements that we've outlined here. John 17, 21. Again, these are Christ's words. That they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. First day of the feast, Matt talked about the living waters and the living water ceremony. He talked about the light and the light ceremony back 2,000 years ago. So that the world may believe that you sent me. Are we being that temporary dwelling and letting those things exist in us? John 17, 22. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. Today. This isn't just the kingdom, folks. And moving on to John 17, 23. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. How is this verse even possible if we are not willing to be that yielding, temporary dwelling? Verse 23. And how do we yield? Go back to those elements I just outlined. Not works. Not works, elements. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. He made him who knew no sin to be... Excuse me, just a second here. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This verse tells us that we believers are to become, and this is a process again, the righteousness of the Father in Jesus, who is our deliverer. Let your mind grasp the magnitude of this fact. This is what a royal priesthood looks like. That verse right there. You know, I've been participating in Feast of Tabernacles since I was a young teenager. So it's about 40-some years. And I always had a difficulty with the concept of a royal priesthood and saying, man, it's not me. I don't see that. And in that physical self, I didn't see that. But this is how it's done. It's right there. 17:3. And 5:21 right here. Excuse me, it's in 2 Corinthians 5, chapter, verse 21. In the true Lord's Prayer here of John 17:3, Jesus, the Anointed One, has defined eternal life for us. For this is eternal life, that they, and they being you and I, may intimately know the true God and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And I added those things in parentheses, okay? May we learn to cooperate with His Holy Spirit that indwells us. And may our Father continue to grant us His favor and ability to be His righteousness here on earth, to be His royal priesthood. From this Feast of Tabernacles and from here forward, be that temporary dwelling so that you can be delivered. Thank you.